We've got two awesome sponsors, including pizza now. And Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow, it's the TagCast Podcast.
Wait.
It's 420, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TagCast Podcast, episode 420. Snoop Lion. My name is Terry Guile, and across the desk sits my cohort.
I'm Gatch.
He's eating bacon.
I am eating bacon. Nom, nom, nom.
Do you guys want to buy some bacon wristbands?
$3, man. Go to flyjelly.com.
Do they taste good, or?
They taste like silicone rubber, so they'd probably taste like an unlubricated condom.
What if you put bacon-flavored lube on them?
Oh, you just dip them in bacon grease.
Oh.
I thought about doing that with some of my cards, right? Like, to make them more appealing, you just rub a little bacon grease on the edge of the card.
And then you can lick it?
No, then people would be like, why does this smell like so good?
They think it's a scratch and sniff. They'll think it's a scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys probably heard on Monday our debut of the TagCast rap, and this is the instrumental version in the background. We have a guest in the studio with us today.
Hello, Brandon Vaughn.
Hey, hello, everybody.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Enjoying my Sunday. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Doing awesome, awesome, awesome. It is actually Wednesday today, though. We're on hump day.
But we know it's
Well,
we know it's Sunday.
We know it's Sunday.
It's the Lord's Day.
Heck yeah.
Tuesday.
Heck yeah. Dude, I like this. I like having this in the beginning.
Yeah, it might be the new thing, huh?
Yeah, we'll just start that.
Because there's
then,
no words. A lot of times we use regular songs and they're singing or talking in the background while we're talking. It doesn't work good for a soundtrack.
Yeah, but I like that because it has that...
Dong.
Has
a ding dong.
What instrument is that?
That sounds like a bell to me.
A bell?
I don't know. Let's see what it sounds like. Yeah, that's a big bell, like a
it's
Black
a
Sabbath
bell.
It's a Black Sabbath bell.
Ooh, a bell.
So yeah, thanks to Mike Lee for the beat. He's been collaborating with some rappers around
Johnny
the United
Eight.
States. Yeah, I don't know what's going to come of it. He was talking about leasing his beats to rappers, which is weird. I was like, you sell it for a flat rate, I guess you're getting screwed more than if you're letting them use it for a year. But if you use a beat and put your rap on it and you can only use it for a year, then what do? Recall all the CDs?
Or maybe you don't. Maybe just use it in rap battles.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know either.
He's pretty loose.
Do you know anything about leasing beats?
I have no idea, man.
Yep. He got a laptop and he got all this software. And
yeah, sounds. I like it.
This is the fastest one he's ever done, dude.
But what's the one? What's that sound that goes...
That's the
hi-hat, right?
Yeah.
But that's what brings to me. So that's my beats per second. It's like, so it sounds fast to me because
well,
it's
sometimes
like,
it goes. Sometimes it goes fast. Sometimes
yeah,
he's just
to me the
up.
Beat is.
Okay.
So it seems like it's like 200, right?
Yeah, but it's not.
What it's like 60?
It's 140.
140?
Well, 70.
I asked him to make me a beat that was 60.
That'd be slow.
It's for a stop smoking metal tape that I want to make. It's going to be a doom metal.
You just listen to metal and it'll make you stop smoking?
Yeah, it'll have like the lyrics in the background behind the ever-flowing water, right?
Yeah.
And
it'll ambiance.
Like, stop smoking now.
Bow.
Yeah, and it'll be for like metal fans.
Cool, because most metal fans smoke.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
Probably want to live past 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's an untapped market, I believe, other than those, you know, the other... Plus, it could be a good album just to listen to anyway.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be slow because
and one
that's,
song, one song.
That's the hypnotizing beat is about between 55 to 60 beats per minute. The optimal hypnotizing...
Did you do some research to figure
this
out?
Dude.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
And then what you do is you take the water and you use that to cover all the vocal ranges. So the frequencies that you use for the water are the same that the any of the vocals will hit, so you'll never hear the vocals. That's
how it works, 420, you better take another hit off the pipe.
Oh, man. You know I will.
Because it sounds to me like you got really stoned and just had some weird kind of conspiracy theory.
Dude, no, I was looking it up because I was like, well, he wants to make a beat for it, you know. And
yeah.
This is, cool. It only takes like a 4-minute beat, and then you just loop it over and over.
Right. We got to get him on the show, too. He wants to come on, but he's one of those guys that always says he wants to do something, and then he just does what he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So someday we'll get him on here. But I know I wanted to ask Brandon a quick question before you get started with any questions that you have for him.
Because
the first time I met Brandon, and want to know your thoughts on Sasquatch and Bigfoot. What do you think that he actually exists?
You know, I really don't. I've watched some of those shows, and I think it's an absolute atrocity that they waste so much bacon trying to lure this alleged Sasquatch
exactly.
into their areas.
What?
And,
they use bacon?
Yeah, that's like their whole thing, man. They're like, you know, if you just hang these strips of bacon over the tree, the Sasquatch will come.
You should have known that.
Well, if you hang bacon over the trees, somebody's going to come and eat it.
Right.
It happened in the Trailer Park Boys video, one of their episodes, like...
Oh, did it?
I smell bacon. Mm. Yeah, and so they followed their nose, and then they found whatever his name was.
I thought the new thing was beef jerky, though, using Jack Lynx.
Well,
beef
that's jerky. Just for messing with Sasquatch.
Oh, you just mess with them.
Yeah.
But so, if you want to feed them, bacon.
I get a lot of shit from my friends when I say that I don't believe he exists either, because they would have found a dead one by now,
easily.
I think. They would
Wouldn't
have found
they?
The remains.
All right.
We had another guest on the show that tried to dispel that by saying that the young Sasquatch eat their old.
Whoa!
Completely, and that's why we never find them. So they're kind of cannibalistic Sasquatchians.
Why would they do that?
To keep us off their trail.
Aren't they supposed to be vegetarians, though, or something?
I don't know.
They eat tree bark.
But if they don't want us to find them, they're like vegetarians. Well, I guess we better eat our parents because we don't want anybody to find them. We can't find any better way to rid the body than fucking eating it?
You're old.
Well, look, man, if you stand in the forest at night, in the still, in the darkness, you're going to hear shit, period. It's the forest, man.
And
they're always like, oh, that's Sasquatch.
Yeah, he's knocking on a tree.
Man.
Right.
It's probably a woodpecker.
Why wouldn't they poison the bacon or, like, put a bunch of tranquilizers in the bacon?
There you go. Right.
You know, it seems like...
What brought this to my mind was up in Tumwater, Washington. You know what that's famous for, don't you? Tumwater, Washington?
Yeah. Oh, Tumwater, keep on rolling.
No? Olympia beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're offering a $1 million...
Tum the beer.
This is going to blow your mind, dude. That's Ham's Bear.
Oh.
Olympia is offering a $1 million reward for the safe capture of Bigfoot.
Wow.
Safe capture.
The legendary creature that is said to roam the Pacific Northwest. And now everywhere in the South, in Canada, in Michigan. There's Bigfoots everywhere if you watch TV. But the Tumwater Company posted a statement on its website saying Olympia Beer and Bigfoot have been leaving footprints together in the Pacific Northwest since 1896. And we have been sharing the same backyard for over a century. We believe it's time to do what has never been done, and that is to offer a $1 million reward to anyone who can ensure the safe capture of Bigfoot. And when we say safe capture, that means Bigfoot has to be alive and breathing with no wounds.
Isn't that endangering those little wolf and dog boys, though, that have hair like all over their face and everything?
Yeah.
Because people are going to be capturing those things.
Michael J. Fox and shit, teen wolves.
Yep. Yeah.
They said, that's right, you can't use any acts of violence, no guns, knives, boxing gloves, nets, etc.
No boxing gloves.
Nope, only sugar or sweets. What, no bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar, sweet?
I don't know.
That's not bacon. The company said only registered participants who capture the Sasquatch will be eligible for the reward, and they said the project is being carried out in partnership with the Falcon Project, which described it as the most penetrative search for Bigfoot ever conducted in the United States. Now, I have a friend that I was talking about on Monday for a second about this guy. We talk about him a lot. His name's John Manning. He's a friend of the podcast.
Farmer?
Farmer Tape knows. That's right. He went camping one time and said that there was 6 Bigfoots surrounding their camp. And he...
What?
Yep. He is 100... He is convinced...
100 sheets of acid in?
Well, I did talk to him about how much acid he has eaten in the past, and he did say that they were smoking. Somebody gave him a sheet of acid back in the late 80s, and... they were smoking it, and
what?
They were smoking
Does
the paper.
Do anything?
I don't know. It seems like it would. You smoke the paper, and whatever. I don't know what acid does when you burn it up. Anyway, yeah, He's a bit on the fruity side.
Sure, why not try it?
Sorry, John, if you're listening. I hope you are, but you know how I feel about you, bro. But yeah, so he and this other, his neighbors, they also think that they saw Sasquatch recently in Oregon.
Yeah.
So I don't agree. I think that they would have found it by now. So any of you listeners out there who want to weigh in?
I'd like to weigh in, but not about that.
Okay. How much do you weigh?
I'm still on the Michael J. Fox thing. Did you ever see him on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll be over in two shakes.
Yeah.
And man, God, I hated that because that makes my jokes about him less shocking when I talk about his new cooking show, Shake and Bake. And, you know, they're just not as shocking if he's laughing about it himself.
Well, yeah, and you've heard the one about how he likes his martinis.
Yeah, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, there's a lot of shaking jokes about
him. Yep, shaking.
Yeah, Eddie Money had a song about him.
Mm-hmm. And his favorite car song was Shake It Up. No, but I thought...
He listens to this show, right?
He needs to do a show with Sylvester Stallone. They can call it Sly Fox.
Sly Fox, I like that.
Yeah.
Got a ring to it.
Sly Fox and the shaky something.
And the...
Stopper, my friend, will shake.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, I like that. He's always shaking hands. Even when he's alone.
He's like,
did you see him on Rescue Me?
Uh-uh.
You ever seen the show Rescue Me?
With Leary? I've tried to like
Dennis
get
Leary?
Into it a
right,
few
right.
times. Yeah.
It's a good show, man. It's a really good show.
Yeah,
friend
I'm
Pat
just never
it.
Like in that mind. I try and then it's like, I know I want to like the show more. And so I try it again later on. But,
that's
yeah,
how
go.
I feel about 2.5, man. I try every
oh,
once
I never,
in a while. I just
yeah.
can't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
You know.
I never. I go to people's house, and there a lot of times that's when I see part of 2.5 Men. It'll be on someone's TV when I'm at their house,
uh-huh.
and then I'll end up watching part of it. And they've got a couple funny jokes, I guess, one-liners. But
well, they just punch. You know, they just keep the punchlines. Bam, bam, bam.
You got to keep
you know?
That laugh track busy,
especially with Charlie Sheen when he was on there. It was just right. nonstop. You know, because that's. He delivers a punchline. Great.
It annoys me that they have the little man thing like every, you know, 5 minutes. It's
yeah.
over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And over.
Yeah. What I never understood was that when Charlie Sheen left, why didn't they just make the other guy the man and bring in a kid? Because he was a man.
He was a pussy.
He was a man at that time.
Yeah, but he was a pussy.
Why
yeah,
didn't,
he was a pussy, man.
But he could
and
like,
Ashton Kutcher, cha-ching. Because
yeah,
that's
well,
going to bring
he does
in viewers.
Draw.
Well, the yeah. ratings went up for an entire show, and then they sank lower than they'd ever been.
Because they're like, everyone wanted to see it, and they're like, oh, that sucks.
Right. It was pretty
We're
awful,
not going to watch
I
that
did
anymore.
Actually watch that
Did
episode.
You? What?
Yeah. I'd never really watched it before, but I was like, I might as well watch, you know.
You watched when Ashton came in, then.
Yeah, I watched it then, and I'd seen it before because they syndicate it, you know, and I'm a lazy American that doesn't always change the channel.
Right.
So, you know,
well,
you
it's
just...
it's on every channel.
Yeah, you run into it. And so... You know, and I find myself just like, yeah, that's a good line.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not like laugh out loud funny because that's, it just comes across as just written one-liners.
Right.
And people
right.
standing around and that's the show format. And a lot of shows get away with that format for a lot of, viewers that just sit in front of it as the boob tube, you know?
What? It's been a long time since I played that, so I had to bring it back.
What?
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 What? What? We used to play this every time we came up with a topic that made Dustin say, what? And so, what made you say what just a second ago?
I got a question for...
Oh, yeah, why don't you let the listeners know what's up with Brandon and what he does and why he's here.
Well, what do I do?
Well, Brandon's here just
to hang out
chill
and chat.
Out. Yeah.
Like everybody.
But you are a writer, right? You helped start Dark Places magazine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now on its coming up on its third issue.
It is, yeah.
Right on, right on. I was reading one of the stories, kind of like a dark... kind of fiction, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was reading It Waits.
Oh, yes.
From,
I happen to like
issue
that
one. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. And, I just want to borrow your DSI. That's all I'm going to say. But people should go to the website and check it out for sure. You can check out the first issue on there.
What's it called again?
Darkplaces.com. co.uk, is that it?
I actually, you know, I wrote it down because I don't spend that much time on my own website. So
Well,
dark-places.co.uk.
All right. We'll put a link on the website, too, so you can go to our website and check it out, too. But how did that come about? I mean, you're running it with your friend Joseph Turner. Do you call him Joe or JoJo?
I actually call him Joseph.
All right, Joseph Turner. Yeah, some people prefer that,
right?
You know, and so... And did he live here at the time? Now he lives in England, right?
Yeah, he's over there in the UK. I actually have never met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got hooked up in an old writers group called Viewshound.com.
Uh-huh.
They used to pay for, you know, articles and observational shit that you'd write.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I kind of became friends through that. And this was really his brainchild. You know, he put it together and emailed me and said, you know, you're in.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's
right
cool.
On.
Yeah.
And they do, I'm not sure if it's every magazine, but they did in the first one, writing competitions?
Yep. Every single magazine, there's a writing competition.
All right.
We do pay out. He does it in, you know, European money, not euros, but whatever it is over there in the UK.
Bitcoins, I hear those are big now.
Something like that.
I don't even know what those are, but
like
I think
Wonderland
I should...
Wonderland coins. You know?
I think I should start collecting them because they're like internet money that people have just started like... It doesn't have any value, but they're saying it's going to soon be worth more than gold.
Really?
That's what they're saying, and it's all internet currency. I saw a site that says we're taking payments in bitcoins.
What is the symbol for Bitcoin?
I don't. You could look it up online. It's just like a virtual coin, like even.
Like a Mario Brothers coin.
I think they're starting to take wooden nickels now.
Yeah,
too.
And I guess they just sold a bunch, and people just bought them all up. And now they put a stop on it.
Can you buy stock?
They're going to build value now.
Right. Can you buy stock in this?
I think the stock is the money, basically. It is what it sounds like to me. So, all right. Then he had this brainchild of dark horror and sci-fi. Is there sci-fi? And I'm not sure. You got the magazine. It's called Dark Places. But is it just genre specific or...
We started out horror and sci-fi. He's actually a Christian youth leader, and he had kind of a ethical dilemma doing the horror because of his views with God and whatnot. And so I said, hey, man, it's cool. Whatever you want to do is fine by me. So we've kind of just narrowed it down to sci-fi. So,
all right. Yeah. All right. Cool. And like, there's always a little... dark horror in sci-fi anyway, you know, and like futuristic what could be like if... Like the Ray Bradbury approach and stuff like that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
When you say the word horror, you say it horror. Dark.
Lazy.
There's a little bit of dark horror in all of us.
there's a little bit of dark horror.
What are you talking?
Yeah, I can say horror and I can say rock and roll if you want to.
Roll. It's like, whoa, is this a horror movie?
I guess it'd be rock and roll.
But this always takes me back to Cheech and Chong. He's like, hey, man, what are you watching? He's like... It's some horror movie. And he's like, whoa, is that Jane Fonda, man? He's like, no, not that kind, man. Like, ooh. You like horror.
All right.
I love reading horror.
How many submissions do you have for the current?
I'm not sure where we are with submissions for the third magazine. All
right.
I've personally read and edited three so far, which were all really, really good, actually.
Right on. Joseph asked me to ask you that.
Yeah.
I was like,
how many he has sent me. I told him, keep sending them to me, man, because I read them as soon as he sends them in. I give him my thoughts, my feedback.
I asked him, what kind of question can I ask you to throw you off? And that was the one that he gave me. I was like,
Nice job, Joe.
He's forwarding the submissions, Joseph.
Yeah, and so we've actually also talked about comedians and like a Lenny Bruce.
Oh, Lenny Bruce, yes. Yeah. How to talk dirty and influence people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, how do you talk dirty and influence people? Is that a book he wrote or a movie that he did?
That's actually a book he wrote, and it didn't tell me how to do it. It was just really kind of a biography.
About him.
Yeah.
So now I've listened to, like, one concert in full that he did in Chicago, and he, you know, it was more like a social commentary more than it was,
Didn't find yourself laughing a lot, did you?
He wasn't, but he was
thinking,
thinking, and at the time, I mean, he would have been blowing minds, you know, with the things that he was saying. I mean, he would, you know, controversy abound at that time.
Very controversial at the time. He got arrested a lot, kicked off stage. You know,
he was wanted by the government,
absolutely.
Basically, like, you know, one of those targeted people like they say John Lennon was, or like
by the government.
Peter Tosh.
Well, yeah, you know, and
Peter Tosh, is he Daniel Tosh's brother?
Only in Jamaica, man.
Yeah, and I watched Snoop Lion on Larry King the other day. Larry King,
he was on Larry
Live.
King.
Yeah, on Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. Gonna, Larry King does now.
Have his Rasta
hat I'm
on.
Calling bullshit on the fact that when Larry asked him how much weed you smoke a day, he said just one bowl.
No, he said he did say he said about a bowl. Like, yeah, you got a bowl like of cereal. I have a morning bowl of weed.
Tupperware bowl.
Yeah.
Is what
yeah.
I'm thinking.
And then later on, Larry's like, how do you function staying stoned all day or something like that? You know, and so it's obvious one bowl's not going to keep Snoop stoned all day, you know.
Unless it's
so
a big
he was
popcorn
just being,
bowl.
You know, it might be a political answer. He you know, you don't want to tell kids you're smoking every half hour or whatever. Wow. But, you know, he's like, I got a man cave. I smoke in there, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's not like going into his kids when they're doing his homework, all smoking. Hey, what are you doing? Three. You know, but he had some good points about, like, talking about why he moved to reggae or, you know. Well, first he said the lion is bigger than the dog or whatever, you know, blah,
ooh,
blah, blah.
Ooh, next will be
King
Snoop
of the
Elephant.
Jungle. Well, Larry King's like, what's next, a dinosaur? But he said that, you know,
Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the phone.
He realizes that. Yeah, that's what he said. He realized that his music has a lot of power. And, you know, the messages that he wants to say aren't always in a rap thing. You know, he can't write a rap song called
We Hate Guns.
Yeah. Or like No Guns Allowed, I think was the song that he had. And,
but he said a reggae person could totally get away with it.
Yeah, but in the rap community, you know, you're always better caught packing. That's what he said.
He's keeping it real, kids.
Yeah, and he does pretty much. I think whenever I hear him talk, you know, or see him on Martha Stewart making brownies.
I mean, have you ever seen
her.
Soul Plane? My God.
Oh. No, I haven't.
Oh. You should watch that on a boring night.
All right,
you'll turn it off before it's over, but at least you'll say you started it.
I can't do that to most movies, though.
Yeah.
I watched one the other day that was I didn't like, but I can't remember what it was called.
But you watched it all the way through.
Yeah,
no, but back to Lenny Bruce, you know, I got tried to get into him when I got into comedy a lot, and heard he was so controversial, and I guess it's just because I'm in the next generation that I went back and listened to it, and it didn't seem. I'm like, why are they persecuting this guy so hard? He's not really even pushing any. You know,
but that was like late 50s, right?
Yeah.
That was black and white
so
generation.
So I have to get into a different mindset and try to listen to it and go, whoa.
I don't even pretend to really understand 1% of what those people were going through within the civil rights movement at that time, you know, with just how controversial that would be just saying something like that. You know, I don't live in... And just not just in, like, California or New York, but he was, like, touring with that shit.
Yeah.
You know, just speaking
and getting shut down a lot.
Yeah, because people are like, no, we're not doing
it. You can't get up there and say that.
Yeah. Yeah, this town is still about segregation or whatever. Or, you know, and he called a lot of people out on their BS and needed, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it helped the country at that time. And, I think that's why he's partially on that pedestal. And he made points so eloquently, you know, inside that.
It reminds me of kind of where Bill Hicks went towards the end there, where it wasn't just like a lot of 1-2 punch jokes. It was just like long drawn out talks about how he felt, and people had grown to love him enough to where they just, you know, they'd just go to listen to his stories when really it's not a lot of jokes. And he's just being brutally honest and telling you things that the government doesn't want you to know. And,
even,
you know.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I mean, it's more of a spoken word. You think of like Jello Biafra does the same thing, you know, or you know, Henry Rollins, even though he's not totally political, you know, he's still more spoken word than he is comedy. But you can still go there and catch some laughs. And what's that one guy... Monster in the Box is what it is, but I don't know the guy's name. It's right there on the tip of my tongue.
Is it the tongue? Is he a comedian?
Well, he's kind of, but he's, you know, he's got that social kind of thing going on. He's well-traveled.
Here, let's just do this while we wait.
Yeah. So, I mean, What's your guys' favorite Spalding Gray?
My favorite Spalding Gray is the guy who used to do political commentary and had an album called Monster in the Box.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Spalding
Gray. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about?
No, but you cut off your sentence in the middle and then said, Spalding Gray.
Well, okay.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the phone.
Well, this is
Let's
topical.
Let's take some calls.
This is topical, actually. Are you familiar with Spalding Gray?
He created the Brady Bunch, right?
No, that
he might have. I don't
know. No, that guy
sure
is. There you go. There you go. Sounds got the shush in it.
Yeah. But this is a guy. He just comedy drama is what it is. And, well, it just showed a fucking details. Okay. It's a story, and he's pretty much on stage behind a desk. And this is his story of his attempt to write a novel. A first-person account about writing and living and dealing with success while trying to be successful.
Huh.
Okay.
From 1992, Spalding Gray, it's called.
Is he dead now?
Monster in a Box, and he did another one called Swimming in Cambodia.
Yeah, one
which
called...
Which was pretty funny, too. And he just does, like, he's well he travels, and he's a writer, and then he just kind of recounts stories in it.
Like
in
very
a
very Hemingway
like
kind
a,
of...
Yeah, in yeah. a very speedy way, in a very well-timed way, unlike... Unlike me.
Is that why you don't do stand-up more often?
What?
Hi, everybody. Funny thing happened to me on the way over.
And
I forgot what it was, but it was hilarious.
Dude, it was.
All right, so what are some of your big influences as far as writing goes? I know a lot of writers are... influenced by a lot of stuff that I don't am not familiar with, but so what got you into it and made you want to do it?
You know, Stephen King, obviously.
Oh, awesome.
Very Stephen King.
Cool.
Some of Clive Barker's earlier stuff. Palahniuk, gotta give big ups to Palahniuk.
Yep.
Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
a lot of people compare, not really compare, but they're kind of like rivals of sorts. Dean Koontz. Never liked Dean Koontz. I love
I've
Stephen
read a few
King.
Of his,
and I tried.
I've read like 4 Koontz books, and after I got through number 4, it was the same basic plot as
right.
the first one,
yeah.
And that's when I stopped. I was like, those first 3, you know, I really enjoyed because they're quick and they're, you know, they're almost on a young adult level.
I read a lot of Koontz in county jail, but I never got to see how they ended because the last few pages were usually missing.
Oh, man. That always
what?
Sucks.
Why do people do that? They
I
just want
just to
fuck
with
you?
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
Same with Louis L'Amour. You know, you have no idea how the book starts, but you can finish it. You know, the fucking pages are always missing.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's hardcore. But, yeah, I read a lot of Stephen King. My mom was a big fan when I was, like, just starting to learn to read novel. I mean, not learning to read, but, you know, 10, 11 years
right.
old.
When you're getting into reading.
Yeah, and, like, actually comprehending what I was reading. And I think the first one I read was The Shining, which was heavy
oh, yes.
for 10. And then
oh,
my
yes.
parents took me to see it when it came out, like, just a couple of years, because it had been out a few years before I got to read it. And I was hooked after that. You know, there was a few, like, I don't know, in the 2000s that he wrote that I didn't really like, or somewhere around there, like The Cell. I didn't really like that book. And,
I couldn't get into it.
And I didn't really like his Dragon Slayer series or whatever it was.
The Dark Tower.
Dark Towers, yeah.
It took me a while to get through the first one, and I had no desire to finish the series.
Yeah.
After I finished.
It was controversial, though, because it took him so long to finish it, right?
Like,
people
like
waited forever for books to come out or,
yeah.
like, the last parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm reading Just After Sunset now, which is some short stories, but pretty good stuff for being new. And, of course, you know, a lot of his stories, like you said about Dean Koontz, they're similar. It's a lot of times about a writer. You know,
well, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
doing this. And
but the you know, the Koontz ones I read was TikTok, which is about a doll that animates. And then another one was like a lizard that did the same exact thing as the TikTok doll.
And then we got the monkey.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I don't really
you
need
know,
to go and read all 800
of I hate
to books.
Say this, but Stephen King, as of late, I find his short stories far more entertaining than his actual novels.
Yeah, because you know? They get so involved, some of the novels. Insomnia. I don't think I ever finished that because that was such a huge, and it was really good at the beginning, and then it just got so, I don't know if convoluted is the right word, but it's just, I really dug Under the Dome. Did you read that?
I did not, but I did see the Simpsons movie, and I hear that they have similar plots.
Oh, that could be. Well, I didn't see the Simpsons movie.
You never saw the Simpsons movie?
They put a giant dome over Springfield.
Oh, maybe. I wonder, that came out first, I think, before. The Stephen King book.
They're making Under the Dome into a movie on Showtime.
It's a
mini series.
Yeah.
Right.
On Showtime?
I think
maybe not.
I think it's CBS now. Oh, okay. They've been negotiating, but the last I heard it was CBS. But yeah, I'm stoked for that.
How awful is ABC? As a station.
Ooh.
Well,
you know what
show you watch on? I'm going to say my favorite show, Shark Tank.
I knew you were going
to is that. On ABC.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Wife Swap sometimes when I'm really bored.
But you know what ABC stands for?
You've got to be really bored. But that show is... Dude, because I watched that the other night.
You know what ABC
is caught up
for
on all my other TV.
Awful bad channel.
Dude, it's all family, dude. I watched part of that show the other day. I tried that Bet on Your Baby.
What is Bet on Your Baby?
So they have them run through like...
This is an example of a thing. All right, so they got the parents and the baby, right? And the parents come up and the baby's not there. And the baby's like 3.
It's not a baby anymore.
One was like 37 months, I think. And it's like, okay.
So funny
okay,
when people
so they
call
send
months,
like one,
that
the
mean?
Parents, the parents pick which one is going to go in the room with the child and to coach or the child into doing whatever it is, right? And then the other one stays back and bets. Like say they got a bunch of towers, red, blue, and yellow of just bricks, paper bricks, right?
Yeah.
And it's like... All right, your husband's going to tell him not to knock down the yellow bricks. So how many yellow bricks is he going to knock over? 1 to 3 or 4 or more?
That's like betting on turtle races or something.
Yeah. Dude, it was awful. And it's like, what do you win? Like therapy for the child in 10 years?
Yeah. I think they should combine that show with Splash and just have the parents throwing their babies off the high dive into the pool.
Did you see Louie fucking roll off the fucking diving board?
No, I refused to watch that.
I didn't watch the show. I watched
you did
the first episode.
Don't lie. I know you watched it.
I didn't watch the show, dude. I just admitted to watching Bet on Your Baby, so I don't have any shame in admitting to bad television.
They should combine it with Wipeout.
Do you watch Honey Boo Boo?
No, never seen it. Okay. I don't even know if I get that channel.
TLC?
At least you knew what it was.
I get very basic cable. I found out today I was shocked when I got History 2 and they had like the history of cocaine on there. I was like,
all right.
Man, History 2 is actually, they show history. So I just.
Well, because the History Channel has now turned into not the History Channel.
Story Wars.
Yeah.
Pawn Stars and shit.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. Well, I can't watch Hardcore Pawn hardly anymore, man.
Oh, what a bullshit show that is.
Dude, at first I found it entertaining just because of watching the customers, throw a fit. And I understand that it's edited just to show the funkiest customers
Detroit.
It's very scripted, though, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
Just like
really
Storage Wars, you heard about that.
Right. That really pissed me off because I actually really dug Storage Wars.
I thought it was real.
Yeah, but you knew they were loading it.
Well, I didn't.
I really didn't. I wanted to believe in the good.
Yeah.
There was actually a show out there that was entertaining me accidentally.
It's like, I want to do that. It made me want to do that.
Right.
It's like, I could do that.
I'll tell you one, Duck Dynasty, I think those guys are, even though, I'm not saying that it's not scripted, but I'm saying those guys are genuinely funny.
Why is everybody hung up on Duck Dynasty?
Those guys are genuinely funny.
My girlfriend convinced me to watch it with her the other day, and it was the most awful 10 minutes of my life.
They do say some funny stuff, but that's just because they're hillbillies. Sid the other day on one that was Cy, yeah.
He's the goofiest motherfucker though.
He's like, I'm so dope, I'm legal in 55 states.
Is that that's the Vietnam vet?
Yeah. He's pretty funny, but that's just so weird.
You can watch his best of on YouTube and get it all. That's what you need to do.
That's right.
Because the other characters, I don't know, the Jace guy's kind of funny sometimes. They just got a funny delivery of their wit.
They never work though.
Yeah.
Have you noticed
that?
They never actually fucking work.
The boss is coming in always, what are you guys doing?
Right. But how much, they're selling those calls for like 50, 60 bucks, though.
Are you kidding me?
No, they've made, that's where they made their millions.
Yeah. And now it's public appearances.
Oh, Jesus. I think
that is probably part of the show is them working in the warehouse because I'm sure they have some big manufacturing plant, probably. But, I mean, how many duck calls can you really sell in a fucking year?
Yeah, well, where are they from? New Orleans? Is that where they are? Louisiana? Is that where they are?
Louisiana.
Yeah. Not New Orleans, but...
Where you can hunt ducks in kind of warm weather, right? You don't have to be out in December.
You'd think that maybe a lot of Oregon people would order duck calls. Right, Oregon right. ducks.
Yes. Yeah. I've blown on a few duck calls.
Because they make the... They had a dude on there the other day that was like a famous race car, NASCAR driver or something, and they made a special duck call for him that had his number on it. It was etched in there. So you could get him that had the Oregon O on it.
Mm-hmm. That's one of their calls.
What's that?
Something like that into a duck call and goes...
Really?
Like the ducks do, you know? When
Are you a champion duck caller?
No, but I know the sounds that ducks make. They make a quack, 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 quack.
Duck Gatchel.
All duck, right. Ducky. I'd like to, this is our segment. This sounds like geese.
It is. Good call. Yeah. I was just going to see if you knew your bird.
Well, it's not a dusky geese because dusky geese are higher pitched.
Really?
And dusky, yeah, you cannot shoot a dusky. It's illegal.
I don't even know what a dusky geese is.
No,
I thought you
this.
Said dusky
now, think of
at first.
Now, think of this. You're a goose hunter, right?
I am not.
And you got a Canadian goose and a dusky goose, and they fly together sometimes.
How do you know the
one's
difference?
One's legal.
Right. You one's ask not. Them. Hey, you dusky?
Well, one's higher pitched.
Oh.
And slightly smaller. I've actually shot one before. And if you're...
shot a dusky goose?
You and if you're a duck if a duck hunter and a goose hunter, you have to report your shots to a local station. I did, yeah.
Oh, good job, Dusky.
I think
Dusky Goose.
I don't remember. It was a
Dusky Gastrel.
Dusky. That's funny.
Old Duskin Gastrel.
That's funny.
He's a Dusker killer.
Yeah.
Duck Gatchel. Oh man, what a bunch of silliness! You got more questions? That was about the only one I could think of was like what inspired him, what writers.
Yeah,
because
a lot of
people say like Shakespeare, Hemingway, and shit like that.
I can't stand Shakespeare. I can't.
Therefore out thou. Why don't you speak English, you dumb fucker? Oh, wait, that is English.
Shakespeare's more for
the king's English.
Yeah.
Dramatic actors.
Oh, yes. Right.
The stage. You know, I think more than if you're writing screenplays, even then, I don't know. It's a...
I almost wonder if it's not like
it's just a group.
Like a hipster thing to say that you like Shakespeare just to be in that group of people who say, I love Shakespeare. Like,
you gotta be a theater person.
Well, you know,
to appreciate
you know that
it.
Comedian, Anthony Jeselnik?
Mm-hmm.
He claims to love Shakespeare and says he still reads it. Like,
well, some people do love it. The language. The language of it, I guess, right?
Oh, Romeo, wherefore art thou?
It's not just that. It's
whatever.
Just like the,
I'd rather read Tom Sawyer.
The pentameter of, right?
Right, right.
The pentameter of the scripted lines. And so as a comedian, I guess I could see it because it's all about your pentameter and timing, you know, of beats of the joke. And
it's more poetry kind
of. And you think about how influential, whether or not you like Shakespeare, how influential what he's written really
big time.
Is. Because
did
so
he
many
write it?
Well, you know, there's the theory that Shakespeare was a woman. There's the theory that...
Whoa.
You know, yeah. There's
that while he was a statesman.
Right, right.
You know, because it was frowned upon to be a writer at that time.
That's
you were
right.
think to be a peasant. And so...
Yeah, you're too lazy to work.
So, well,
that's
the thing
exactly
is,
it.
Yeah, that the...
that's me.
That he, you know, Shakespeare wasn't very traveled as just a peasant, that some people think that it was a statesman who was well-traveled that would be able to have all the knowledge that Shakespeare put into his works and then pinned it under that guy's name so that he wouldn't be burned or whatever for being a lowly writer.
And back then, without the internet and everything, how easy would it be to just portray someone else and just say, hey, this is this guy. He
right.
wrote this book.
Yeah,
this
right.
is his name. Like, people have ghostwriters. Not ghostwriters, but aliases like Richard Bachman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not an alias. Mm-hmm. It's called, I can't even remember.
A.K.A.
Well, yeah. I kind of liked it, though.
It's a pseudonym.
Yeah, there you go.
Bam.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I liked it where the mid to late 90s, he released some Richard Bachman books, and on the back page or whatever where it tells about the book, it says it told like a backstory, like his
right.
wife found these transcripts in the attic, and they weren't going to be released or whatever. I think it was like, was it the regulators? Or
he died some tragic death.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very mysterious.
And there's other popular authors who have pseudonyms that they write under, but I can't think of any. I know there are some, though. Just seems like it'd be way easier to get away with it back in Shakespeare days. Mm-hmm. What was that, 1700s?
You ever read any alien books? Alien accounts, like no. Whitley Strieber?
Nope.
All right.
I thought you meant like the alien novels that the movies were based on.
No. All right.
That was a quick question.
Well, I was just asking.
Quick no.
So I want to ask you guys, who is hotter? Betty? Or Veronica?
Archie Comics.
Oh.
Veronica.
Really?
Veronica.
She was the redhead, right?
No, she was the dark hair, rich.
She was the rich one, right?
One, and then Betty was like the girl next door.
Right.
Oh, okay.
She had the crush on Archie, right?
Right.
And
right.
Archie always had the crush on
Veronica.
Veronica
was a complete bitch. I mean, yeah. You know, totally.
Yeah, a
and
rich
so,
bitch.
You know, obviously, he was drawn toward that.
Yeah. And,
girl with an attitude.
And who was the guy that was always...
Reggie.
Reggie. Oh, he
a
was
little scumbag Reggie, man.
He was a dick.
Yeah, yep. Totally.
I used to love... That was one of my topics, actually, that I've been skipping over, like what like magazines and little publications like that did you enjoy as a kid? Because I used to read those little Archie comics. Mm-hmm. They were really
little
thick.
Lulu.
Yep.
They were thicker than most, and we've
Sad
talked about
sack.
Mad Magazine and Cracked and
right.
all that.
Yes.
Loved those. And then there was a magazine, I don't know how long it was around, but it was called Cartoons. And it was spelled T-O-O-N.
Was that with the Big Daddy Ed Roth cartoons?
I think so, yeah. And it always had, like, there was a couple stoner guys that was, like, one of their, I think it was Crash and Bernstein, which is now a cartoon that I just is coming back to me because I told you Ron Funches was doing voices for the XD Disney Channel. Crash and Bernstein, I think that's what it's called. Maybe it was just Crash and Burns. But it was these two stoner dudes, and they're always, like, working on their cars. I don't think they ever openly smoked weed or anything, but you could tell. Like, I listened to a lot of Cheech and Chong as a child because my parents were stoners and loved that Cartoons magazine. But any other magazines that you guys, like, even if they were comic books or anything that you guys used to get excited?
I think I remember that. I remember, like, the cover and the lettering.
Yeah, it had Car Big and then Tunes, and it had, like, flames coming out of, like, a tailpipe coming off the side or something like that. I used to love those and wait for them to come to my local grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the Archies and like the...
What about Dennis the Menace books?
Oh.
No?
Yeah,
hated
I don't
it?
Think I did. I did a lot of Garfield.
Charlie Brown.
See, Heathcliff.
I'm a bit older.
You know, a lot of those little books, Daily. I used to go down to the Odyssey bookstore over in Lebanon and I'd buy like a bunch of used Archies ones. I like the Choose Your Own Adventure ones.
Those were good.
I actually wrote a Choose Your Own Adventure. You can go to achievementsunlocked.com and you can play it. There's only been one person that has left a message on the final page.
How long has it been there?
About 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
It was old Tabacat Photography.
Awesome.
Tabacat.
Awesome.
I got to the end. Yeah, so did he ever answer Betty or Veronica for you?
I was going to say Betty.
Yeah, I think I'd go Betty, but clearly either one. I mean, I'd, you know.
Now, this one that I'm going to give you is a little easier choice, so I'm going to make it would you rather. Would you rather get a blowjob from Velma or just have sex with the lights on with Daphne? Velma wasn't very hot.
No, but I actually saw the other day.
You didn't answer my question.
Some cosplay, a hot Velma like dressed to the. She looked fucking.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the original Velma.
No, that wasn't.
It was unsightly.
God, man, probably just
with her thick glasses all down on her nose and
fucking turtleneck sweater.
She would definitely be more hungrier than Daphne.
Okay, Scooby or Shaggy.
Scooby's likes a good snack.
Ginger or Marianne?
Ginger.
Ginger.
Yeah, she was such a sexy little whore.
Yeah, and then...
But Marianne would be fun because she wouldn't really know what she was doing. You could just school her.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I would do Mrs. Howell if I actually had a shot.
Ooh, wow.
Bam. Yeah, dude. What about...
He's keeping it real.
If you had the chance, would you take all four Golden Girls one at a time? One right after another?
Yeah, why not?
Just
man?
To say that you
Wait,
did.
You mean now that they're all dead?
No.
Betty
White's still kicking.
Yeah, back when
back in their heyday.
Back when you could
when
do
they
it
were
like
80.
This all right, in this scenario it's on set.
on set.
But nobody else. It's like after hours. They're like, why don't you come back to the set with
us?
I would say
knock
Blanche
on the door.
Last, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Could I have Rue McClanahan last?
Yeah. And Mona comes over from Who's the Boss.
Now we're talking.
Because you know she was game.
Oh.
She was a slut.
Yes, she was. So that's a good little segment. We think of two girls from a TV show, and which would you rather? Yeah. Marsha, Brady, or Marsha, Jan, or Cindy? Alice! Oh, sorry. Ooh. That wasn't a choice.
Is Tiger part of the equation? Yeah.
I thought we were talking last week about how, you know, behind the scenes, Greg was apparently doing it with Marsha and the mom. And then Lance brought up the fact that the dad wasn't doing with any of them.
Oh, yeah.
He was probably
very good.
Well, Sam brought him over that big chop of meat, right?
Sam the Butcher bringing Brady the meat.
Did you read his autobiography, whoever the guy was that played
Robert? Barry Williams.
Yeah,
no,
he revealed a lot of that in there. They used to get high in Tiger's doghouse in between scenes.
Play a little touchy-feely.
Yeah.
What a great life it would have been growing up with a gay dad and sister that you could have sex with her and your stepmom.
What about the show My Two Dads? That was on the air for quite a while, wasn't it?
That was the guy from BJ and the Bear and
Paul Reiser.
Yeah, that was.
You know, I used to work in acrylics, and we'd make those risers, you know, the little risers.
So they weren't gay, were they?
I'd always ask Ron, hey, you working on some Paul Reisers over there?
And he didn't know who that was.
Oh, he knew.
He likes Mad About You.
I probably had to tell him the first time, but, you know, after the 50th time I said the joke, you know, I mean.
Yeah, if obviously. I ever meet somebody who says, man, my favorite sitcom is Mad About You.
I had the same jokes rolling, man, for 15 years.
Paul Reiser?
I would use them. Yeah, every time somebody would do risers, I'd throw out the Paul Reiser joke.
Right on. Reiser.
You know, I'd get a laugh because they had heard it so many times. It's like one of those shake your head laughs.
So
you're still trying it.
I can't really remember My Two Dads. Were they gay?
No,
they were raising
a
daughter.
Right.
No.
They were always competing for the same woman, though. That was a recurring plot. Mm-hmm.
But Kate and Allie, they were gay, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kate and Allie were gay.
They were Cagney and Lacey gay. I mean, big fucking time.
Okay, if you had a choice, Cagney or Lacey?
Ooh, man. God.
Lacey was the blonde one, right? Or no?
Yeah.
I'd have to go with Lacey.
Man, but
Cagney
so
was
dyke-y.
Just like... Rah.
But her hair was so nappy, though. And you know, back then, she was like rolling the fucking... The full-on... She probably had never even shaved.
Didn't that have Mr. Papadopoulos from Webster? Wasn't he like a husband or boyfriend?
Alex Karras, dude. He was a football player.
That's right. You're right.
He was a football player for many years over recently passed.
Yes, he did. That's right. They blamed Webster.
Yeah. Do you know Manuel Lewis? He invented the dictionary. He wrote the first Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, when he was on the show.
Yeah.
But a bump.
Yeah. Yeah,
Benson, he invented half of the cigarettes.
Okay, do you know
Benson and Hedges?
You know what show he was a spinoff from?
Oh, yeah. Star Trek. Because they had the same, the Next Generation, because they both had, what's his name?
That was so close. No, it was with Richard Mulligan and Billy Crystal.
Soap?
Yes. Nice. I was
right. So what was that guy?
That was one of the first shows that had an openly gay dude on it, which was Billy Crystal.
Who was
that before Bosom Buddies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, Tom Hanks. Which would you rather do, Tom Hanks or the other guy?
The other guy. Oh, easily.
He was shorter.
Oh, the guy from New Heart Show?
I guess.
He was on the New Heart Show?
Yeah.
I didn't think he ever did anything.
Not the New Heart Show, but New Heart.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
He was the Stephanie's husband.
I have no idea.
The daughter
what you're
of New
about.
Heart. When he owned the inn with Tom Poston?
No.
That was probably one of the greatest series endings of all time, I thought.
Speaking of Tom Poston.
Have you ever seen that? The ending for the New Heart?
No. I never watched that show.
But did you watch the New Heart Show?
Maybe when my...
The Bob Newhart Show when he had The Office, right? And he was the psychiatrist or whatever?
I watched a
couple episodes, not really.
It was way, way before my time. I never really watched it.
But why are you asking me if I did then?
Because you're older than me.
Oh, okay.
Not by that much, but I thought maybe you saw it.
Oh, well, geez. I didn't mean to offend you. God, I got him all pissed off now. Don't be so mad, Gatch. Duck Gatch.
Can I ask you guys a question?
You can ask as many questions as you want.
You're into vinyl, right? Are you into vinyl?
I love vinyl.
Are you an audiophile?
I have a respectable vinyl collection, yeah.
All right.
You're talking about...
What's the big deal about tapes? Now tapes are coming into fashion. Are tapes a respectable medium?
They're too high maintenance.
They sound crappy.
Oh, they sound crappy.
You have to flip them over. I mean, who wants to fucking do that?
Yeah, hey,
I got one of those new auto reverse cassettes.
Oh. New. New, like 1982 new.
Dude, it just goes ka-chook. And when it gets fucked up, it just will go ka-chook, 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 ka-chook. And you're like, you can't play shit. Every time I buy a used cassette player from a Goodwill or a thrift shop, it works for about 2 weeks and then it starts doing that. Or else the head sticks up and it's already stopped, but you can't get a tape in there because it's all the cap stands. Well, who needs a cap stand? I fucking hate those. Those are those little
things. Well, they hold it in place.
It is very amazing to me, though, the technology of taking rocks or whatever they do and crushing them up and make them into tape and then actually getting data that you can play through. It blows me away. When I was a kid, I used to look at tapes. How could that music be on there?
Yeah.
And then you just run it across this head and then it comes out some wires into some speakers and then you're rocking out.
Yeah. But that's one of the oldest.
It's just a smaller format than 8-track, though. I mean, it was the same principle.
8-tracks are coming back.
That's one of the oldest, like, recording analog devices, isn't it? Just the tape?
Well, probably the old records, the old acetate records.
And back to the clay pots.
Like, my grandpa, I actually have records. He's got one of those old phonographs with the RCA looking phonograph.
Yeah.
We've got records that they actually recorded. You could record with that as well as play it out. That horn was a microphone and you could actually, what I would say, burn discs like vinyl. You get a blank vinyl disc and the sound somehow, I don't know how they did it. It was fucking weird. So we've got albums of my grandparents singing like gospel hymns in the house. You can hear like background noise and it's,
wow.
I don't know how it blows me away that you could just record. So the sound goes in the horn and goes down through the needle and makes the grooves into the record. It's kind of like the reverse.
Put a groove in the record. You know what song that is?
No, but I think you should put it in our tag cast rap.
Pump up the volume.
Put the groove in the record.
Or no, that's put the needle on the record.
Yeah.
Put the needle on the record to the sound beat.
There's a one, I don't know. I remember hearing it a few times at the strip club. And it was just the same lyric over and over for like 8 minutes.
The record wasn't skipping.
Yeah.
It was a house mix.
It must have been.
Hey, you know, I forgot to do it on a Monday show, but forget about that. I want to touch on a couple celebrity birthdays today. What?
You're going to touch on something.
I'm going to touch on a member of the Mothers of Invention.
Happy birthday.
Roy Estrada. He's seven.
Eric's brother.
Yeah, he's 70. Eric Estrada. Yeah, he played with the original Mothers of Invention back in the late 60s. 70th birthday. Now, here's one I want you to guess. Don't look at my thing.
All right.
Happy birthday to... He's back to Portland. He's doing wrestling again. He's doing comedy.
Oh, Rowdy Piper.
Yep, happy birthday, Rowdy Piper.
I was just watching him last night.
Right.
He's doing stand-up comedy at, like, Harvey's Comedy Club, and he's doing wrestling again. Yeah.
Probably more like a spoken word, like he's saying
funny
bits.
Oh, but he's funny, though. I didn't know he was Canadian. Did you know he's from Canada?
His daughter was on there last night, man.
Don't say anything. He's listening.
And then, he said...
I'll kill you!
And then he went into one of his classic wrestling rants. Like, apparently they're striking or something is what I was gathering from. They're having a strike going on, and somebody's bringing in some scabs, and he's like, scabs! Call them what they are, the scabs!
So we do a thing where I ask Dustin how old he thinks a celebrity is, and he does this deductive reasoning. He'll say, let's see, I saw him first in 1980.
I did see him about 1983.
He was probably about 24.
And so he was he wasn't even in Portland wrestling anymore. At that time, he'd already passed. So I'm going to say he's probably about 33, then 1950. So he's 63.
That was a pretty good deductive reasoning. He overshadowed a little bit. It's 59 years old today, Roddy Piper. Still throwing down in the squared circle.
Yeah.
Almost 60. Pretty
impressive.
They
were showing some classic clips, too, of him and Sandy Barr looked like he was about fucking 23.
Now, did he always wear a kilt? Was that always part of his...
He had plaid wrestling short tights.
Yeah, he would take off the kilt when he would wrestle, I think.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Also, last celebrity birthday today, Maynard James Keenan from Tool, like that guy. You guys
they got their own wine.
Yes, they do.
Are you into Pucifer at all, his other band? Or
I like Pussifer.
Oh, there
Pussifer.
I don't know how you say
Pussifer.
I heard an interview.
Perfect Circle?
No.
Oh, not that one?
No, he's got another newer one that was more.
P-U-S-C-I-F-E-R.
I think it's Pussifer. I heard an interview with him with my friend Carl from K-Fly, and he actually asked him, and he said, and I'm pretty sure it was poo, but like poo. He made a poo joke about it. But how old would you guys estimate that Maynard is today?
45.
That's a pretty good guess.
42.
49. He's almost 50.
What?
Lord. Yeah.
Well, he was a professional. He was in the service. He was a Marine, I believe, before he was even in bands, and he went to college. He's a very smart
That's where
fellow.
He got his bark.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine Maynard being your drill sergeant?
Mm-hmm. I always thought him and Maynard G. Krebs were related.
It's last names that relate you, bro.
Oh. Not in China.
Are you related to Dustin Hoffman?
Yes. Illegally.
Oh, man. Illegally. What does that even mean? Oh, there's my Hans. What does that even mean? And we also do this other segment where we talk about a friend of ours and what's in his CD player, but I'll ask you first. What have you been listening to, whether it be on an iPod or a disc or an 8-track tape or a clay
pot?
Clay pot. What have you been listening to as far as music? Are you a big music fan?
Absolutely.
I think everybody loves music.
I think music really, you know, it unites all of us. You know, it's one thing we can all agree on.
I think if you don't like music, which I've met a couple weirdos that just...
I know a guy.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So we
a
won't...
guy, yeah, Andy at work, he doesn't like music.
I don't like
and
music.
And he told me also that... He supports professional musicians, not amateur musicians.
Ooh.
Come on.
He's a snob.
I know. What's that even mean?
Wow.
Without amateur musicians, right. There'd be no
They all started there.
Yeah. So
what have you been... He likes to ring my bell.
Ooh, you love that song. How'd you know what was in it?
I do love that song, dude.
Actually...
I love that one and fucking... I'll throw down some Digital Underground any fucking day of the week.
Our guest a couple weeks ago said that he was listening to Ring My Bell, the original disco song. And I don't think he was lying.
Oh, the original disco song.
Matt Thill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Anita Ward?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right, right.
He was bragging about the beat and how cool it was. And
It is, and it's been remixed several times in rap songs. That actually
Will Smith.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say anything about
Will
Smith.
Okay. So what have you been listening to?
Saw my Blinko, bitch. Dude, that's my favorite Will Smith song.
Okay, let him answer.
Welcome to Miami. I've been listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar. Back into Pink Floyd real heavy this week.
Nice.
A lot of Doors.
What kind of Pink Floyd album you like?
I hate to say this. This makes me sound kind of lame, but I have been listening to The Wall nonstop. Uh-huh. I listened to it a lot in high school.
It's a great album.
And then I just kind of put it down and left it.
What's your preferred disc, or was it tapes back then?
What, it was disc
part one or
two.
Part two?
Disc one and disc two, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably part two.
Yeah.
Whatever, disc two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, what have I been listening to?
Yeah, yes.
I've been listening to, I was listening to Yes.
Yes, you were.
And then I also listened to, I watched some Mudhoney stuff, some Mark Arm.
Yep, so this all stemmed from
Steve Turner.
This all stemmed from a segment we've been doing almost from the beginning of the podcast.
Episode 4, 3.
At least 130 episodes we've covered this, and we even have a little theme song for it. He likes Black Sabbath.
Now and we'll find out later.
And he's one of our constant listeners who listens to every episode. And if it doesn't show up, he's texting me, "Where's my episode?" So this is for you, Hans. Thanks for listening, buddy. He was listening to something crazy the other day, Einster's and Newbottin. Today, listening to another band I've never heard of. This Empty Flow is the band. The album is called Magenta Sky Code. So, there you go, Hans, fucking showing me up again, listening to bands I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of This Empty Flow?
No. I'm going to ask him if he's ever heard of No Mercy, though.
I will tell you who's in that band right now.
All right.
Mike Muir from Suicidal Tendencies.
All right.
And another dude from Suicidal Tendencies.
This was a pretty hefty price on...
Dude, that's very rare.
Is that Rocky George?
On YouTube.
Let me see that. Hans, you like No Mercy? Hey, it is. I was right. Mike Clark, actually, is the other guitar player that was
I'm not even sure if I found that tape elsewhere on eBay. It might have been on a vinyl format.
Dude, this is...
You want to buy it?
No. Suicidal Records.
You want to sell it or buy it?
You want to pawn it or you want to sell it? I was looking to sell it. I wanted to get $4,000. Oh my God, that's ridiculous! I can.
Where did you get that price?
I'll give you $200. That's rock bottom. I hate
3,900.
I think that other Pawn Stars is also probably scripted and fake.
Well, at least it has some historical cool stuff to look at.
Dude, that Gatling gun was fucking rad.
The other one's all fucking just people arguing. It never even matters what they're bringing in. On hardcore Pawn.
Well, they're always bringing in weird shit too. And I mean, that's, you know,
always like broken PS2s or somebody fucking trying to get their ring back,
exactly,
without a receipt, or somebody rolling around on the floor
trying to get my ring back.
I'm not leaving here without my $300.
Is that like a ring back tone?
Yeah,
I want to get my ring back. Ding. I was listening to Frank Zappa's You Can't Do That on Stage Anymore Volume 2, which is a two-disc set of their 1972 concert in Helsinki, which was the first show that Zappa actually was back on stage. Maybe the third show, but it was his first tour after he got shoved off the stage into the orchestra pit.
Ooh.
Where he got all fucked up. Remember that story we talked about on the Zappa Tag Cast? A fan came on the stage and just shoved him off the stage, and he fell 15 feet into a concrete orchestra pit. Broke a bunch of shit, fucked his leg up. He was in a wheelchair for like a year. And the guy said that he did it because he was jealous that his girlfriend liked Frank Zappa.
Of course.
It's like, why
were we at
the concert?
Well, it could have been worse. I mean, he could have been that guy that shot John Lennon.
Oh, yeah.
Diamond Darrell.
Yeah.
Why do people do stuff like that? A little voice in their head?
The guy who killed Diamond Darrell claims he was pissed off that Pantera broke.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, and he was like a psycho, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not going to play with Phil and those guys, then you're not playing with anybody.
Right. The guy who shot Lennon blamed Jody Foster? That was the guy who shot Reagan? I don't remember. But you know,
no, he had some ties to Jody Foster. Yeah. David Chapman. Mm-hmm. And why do the people who kill people always have three names?
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, like, everyone has three names except for my friend Dan Dannon. But
he doesn't have.
You're
a
not.
Name?
No, he doesn't. I was giving him a hard time a little bit. I was telling him that his parents were dicks. I said, "There's people."
So his middle name is none.
There's none.
So it's Dannon.
He's like my. He goes, "You're not even kidding, dude." I was like, "Your last name's Dannon. So let's see, what could we name our kid? How about Dan?" He's like, "I know, not even Daniel, and no middle name." I was like, "That'd be like my parents naming me Lyle, or Guy."
Yeah.
Guy Guile. Lyle Guile or Kyle Guile.
You put L as your middle name, right?
Guy L. Guile.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, three names. Yeah. Like, I don't know if the media does that and just puts their names.
Except for Sirhan Sirhan.
That's four names.
Yeah.
Or two.
Sirhan Sirloin.
Yes.
Do you guys like Sizzler?
Oh, yuck.
My wife.
Sizzler's like the Louis Anderson of restaurants.
Did you see him roll off the diving board the other day?
No, but you already asked us that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you he rolled off. He just rolled off.
Did he make a splash?
Did he belly flop? His back out to the thing. He just sat on the edge. And then they're all like, do it. And he just... And he tumbled a couple times, and it looked really weird.
Anthony,
the board held him.
Anthony Jeselnik's joke was the best. It said that Splash was a great show. The only thing that they forgot to do was drain the pool. That wasn't a direct quote. He said the only problem was that the pool had water in it or something like that.
Did you watch that caricature thing from Nathan For You?
I did. That was hilarious.
Dude, I hadn't laughed that fucking hard in forever.
I didn't even see it coming that the guy was going to get offended at the end.
That guy is fucking dry.
He was like, oh, man. And I thought that tough guy was going to get pissed maybe and kick his ass.
Dude, yeah.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, we'll put a link on our Facebook or something. It's a funny video about this famous caricature artist who draws caricatures for famous comedians and whatnot on Comedy Central. And
yeah,
a guy talked him into be real. He goes, you need to be funny, and like
the big thing now
stereotypes.
In insult comedy is
he's
know.
Like, so if a guy comes up and he's Asian, just draw a picture of a guy with one of those Chinese hats and big teeth coming out with a pair of chopsticks, and then like Pearl Harbor in the bottom. Or something.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know what direction to go, so I just went all directions.
That guy thought it was funny though. He's like, actually, that's kind of funny. And then this big kind of tough guy, and he I can't remember what he did, but it was something.
He drew
oh,
him
fucking
sucking
his, dog.
His own dick.
Oh, that's right.
He drew him sucking his own dick. And
he's like, lunchtime.
You know, because you can't see. You're on the boardwalk, right? And so right. Everybody behind you watching what you're drawing, and the guys in front of you, they don't see until right. you flip, and then they're like, what?
But he's super good, so the face, you can tell yeah. it's exactly. The other guy had his dog, and he was kind of a tough-looking guy, and the picture was his dog fucking him up the ass, saying, yeah. I trained you to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the one was a couple, and it was, he drew a picture of himself, the artist, fucking the girl.
And going, man, his penis is small.
Yeah, and the, no, and then the boyfriend was off in the corner, he's staring at a hummingbird going, that penis is huge.
And then he pissed the guy off who told him to be an insult comic. At the end, he came to have his picture drawn, and he drew heaven and his grandpa looking down on him and like something real like disgraceful. And he's yeah. like, my grandpa is really sacred to me, and that just like really hurts my feelings, man. And it was just a funny, dry ending to this whole. It was like
Yeah, it was very. It's very. That's his style, the Nathan For You guy.
I don't know that guy. He has a show though on Comedy Central.
Yeah, he does. He does quite a few clips on there. It's very worth checking out. Comedy Central. Nathan
I've been getting
For You.
Been getting a kick out of that Kroll show too. Pretty funny.
Oh, you should check out this guy on YouTube. His name is Dame Drops, and he does reviews on fast food. He did one on fish bites. Did one on the Lay's potato chips.
Is that what you got you talking about, having him do like a burger review?
No. This is Dame Drops. I watched him the other day, and the guy's goofy as hell, and for some reason,
like him.
I like watching him. They're like 9-minute reviews, and he's a goofy motherfucker.
Right on.
This is a segment I'd like to start here with from thefuckingweather.com.
Oh, how about we do it every Wednesday?
All right. This is in Sonneberg, Germany. It's fucking cold. Freezing my balls off out here. That's what the site says. 39 degrees.
What about where we are?
Where we are?
Yeah, in Albany, Oregon. It's a long way from whatever you said, Germany.
Yeah. Thefuckingweather.com says, here it's 49 degrees. It's fucking all right.
The weather's fucking all right.
From inside, it looks nice out. And that is true.
That is very true.
That is true. But yeah, I bet when we go out to get some pizza now.
Very sardonic replies to the fucking weather.
Might not be as nice as it seems outside.
No.
The feels like might be a few under.
Actually, since I'm a pretty psychic dude, Wednesday today, hump day, it's kind of sunny outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, right on. Well, it looks nice out from inside.
Yeah. Still chilly, though. I had to build a fire last night.
You better get your spoon.
I hate chili ever since Wendy's.
Really? You don't eat chili?
Not
even at home?
I haven't eaten chili in years, but I don't think that's why.
Oh, what about you?
Nah, I'm not a big chili fan, unless it's on haystacks. Haystacks are always good.
Yeah, you like it on. You like a stew?
Oh, not necessarily. I'm not a big chili fan.
I like a good stew.
You like a good stew?
I like a good pair of pants, too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I heard there's a JCPenney's, I think it is. They got a new thing that you'll ship your pants over. They'll now ship your pants.
I just thought you said you're going to shit your pants over this deal.
The ship. Wow. I guess now you can ship your pants. JCPenney's. So
come on into JCPenney's and you can ship your pants.
Yep. You'll ship
your
pants.
Oh, wait,
you
don't even have to come in.
Yeah, yeah, you just ship your
pants.
You
just stay home and we'll ship your pants.
No, you ship your pants online. You get your pants shipped.
See, now that's kind of funny because I have a little joke that I told when I was talking about the Springfield strip clubs in my stand-up comedy act where I said, this lady was so gross dancing for me, it scared me so bad I shit my friend's pants.
I love that one.
So how do you ship someone else's pants?
I don't know. But, dude, you should turn that joke into a visual of so the audience visualizes. Just set up this huge joke about this awesome stripper sticking her ass in your face, and then she just splurts shit all over you.
Oh, no, that's not cool. It's bad enough at the Springfield strip clubs where, They're all covered in glitter and it's dark black light, but glitter and black light doesn't cover up track marks and bruises.
maybe she, you
could still see him.
She could shit a bunch of glitter out her ass for a trick. Yeah.
I was thinking that it should be a strip club for blind people because it's so terrible, but they'd have to adjust the rules to where you can touch them. And I thought, that won't work either because you can feel track marks and bruises too.
Right? Yeah.
They're like hard under
the
skin.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Oh man, is that your nipple? No, that's just a scab.
Yeah.
It's a scab on a fat roll. Get off of it.
I was checking out a suicide girl the other day, and it said that her profile said drug preference, and it said in the veins.
Ooh.
It's like of all the things to put.
Yeah.
You know?
She's hardcore. She doesn't like needles. She's got a whole body tattoo. There is a difference, though, between that. I've seen some people that say that. I fucking hate needles, and they got, like, full sleeve.
Yeah.
I don't like needles going through my second layer of epidermal and piercing into my veins, unless it's bath salts.
Well, it goes through the first layer anyway, even a tattoo, right? Because you shed your skin.
I'm not a snake. You shed your skin, you got like Dustin's rolling around.
Yeah, don't you ever have dead skin cells?
Like full, what do they call it when a snake does that?
Shedding.
Molting.
Oh, molting.
Yeah, full molting.
Yeah, I light mine on fire and they could get molting.
You've got a melted molt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shit. I think we're over time, aren't we?
Yeah.
We got to get going. We thank you guys for listening on this wonderful hump day. We've tried to enlighten you. We'd like to thank our guest for being here and telling us about his website, darkplaces.uk.co.
Yeah, that sounds...
Is that right?
I think it's .co.
That's right.
I think it's .co.uk.
Yeah, .co.uk.
Oh, shit, I'm a little dyslexic, but that's for fine. A stoner, I have a pretty damn good memory.
Can I... thanks, guys, for having me. Can I
plugs?
Just shout out to a couple of people real
quick? Sure, yeah.
Okay, first
you could do
foremost,
5 minutes of plugs
I can do 5 minutes of plugs.
Yeah,
at least. Started.
Yeah, man, take your time.
If you guys want to check out anything that I've written, most of it is on bdocorleone.wordpress.com. I'd also like to give shout-outs to my friends, Imperial Glasshouse, Mac Moss, Chulo the Barber, at Fresh Fades in Corvallis, and of course 30 Pound Test, my beautiful girlfriend Tara, I love you so much, and my two wonderful children Austin and Christian, I love you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, awesome. No problem. I like 30 Pound Test a lot too, and I'm unfortunately not going to be able to see their 420 show in a few days, but they're playing in Portland.
That's Lidless Eye.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah, right.
But you know, Portland's quite a drive, and I just don't have the funds to do it right now. But, yeah, you've seen those guys a few times, have you?
I've seen them live a couple times. They're amazing. And I go back quite a ways with Blake, so, you know, I'm
oh, right on. Yeah, so I more go back with Zach and Jason.
Right.
And I met Blake and Lyndon in, like, 2006 when they played in a band called Azrael, I think.
Right.
And my band, Domesticide, played a few shows with them over the Platinum and stuff. And never, you know, it was just kind of a, hey, good show. Never really got to be friends with them. And then, like, whatever, 10, whatever, was it, 5-6 years later, then they're like in a band with Zach and Jason, who I've been knowing probably for 20 years. I've known those guys. So it's pretty cool to see those guys come together because they both came from cool bands and to collaborate. And I love their diversity, the way they switch things up all the time. So we'll be having a plug section after this show, as we always do, which will tell you to choose your best 420 show because there's a ton of them. I think there's 420 shows
on 420.
Exactly. In Oregon alone. So,
in Corvallis.
If you're just feeling like a true stoner, you should just stay home and smoke weed all day.
Yeah.
Just don't even go out. Just watch it on the internet the next day.
Hey, yeah.
Because everything's on YouTube the next day. Anytime I miss a show, I just YouTube it. Oh, I missed Napalm Death in Portland. I'll just YouTube it.
Yeah.
It's not the same, I know, but...
You just need a bigger TV.
I can't watch porn on my big TV.
Just makes porn me, fort.
I need a porn fort. All right, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you on Friday, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, rock on.
Metal. Hey, all you taggots. What's going on? A lot of stuff. You should go check it out. Unless you just want to sit at home on Saturday and just smoke weed all the time. April 20th and 21st, we got Stumpfest, an annual thing going on up at the Mississippi Studios in Portland. with bands like Diesto, Satan, Norska, Lord Dying, Black Pussy, and Floor. Get your tickets online. Check it out at Stumpfest in Portland, Oregon. All right, so we got a ton of shows coming up on 420, which is Saturday. I'm going to give you four to choose from. If you don't like those four, you can go find some more. Up in Portland at the Tiger Bar, we got Dirt Nap, 30 Pound Test, Lidless Eye, and The Suppression. It's 21 and over, starts at 9 o'clock, but it is $6 at the door. So, there's that. You need to save your money for weed. No, just kidding. Go check out 30 Pound Test. If you can't, in Tangent, at the Dixie Creek Saloon, we got the 420 show with Ion Storm coming down from Portland, Crosby Ringer's band, and Brutos, and Bury the Goat. That's Dixie Creek Saloon, 9 o'clock, 21 and over. And these are all 420 shows. Zenit Ra will be at the Kalapuya Brewing Company. Our good friends Dave Trinkle and J.D. Monroe will be tearing it up. That's a 9 o'clock show. It's free. It's 21 and over. Always good beer and food at the Kalapui. Kapuya! Kapuya! And also, if you're in the Eugene area and you can't make it north for any of those shows, go to the Wetlands. That's on Garfield, 9th and Garfield in Eugene. Sick Man, Hiding Jekyll, and Electric Funeral. Electric Funeral is an all-acoustic metal tribute band. Should be a good show.
To who?
Who? To all metal.
Oh, okay.
It came out right about the time that I did my first set of metal acoustic rock at the Wow Hall. But not saying that anybody stole anything, but whatever.
Electric Funeral.
Sunday, April 21st is the third annual Doug Benson 420 show at the Wow Hall. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them by contacting the Wow Hall or going online and looking for yourself to find the tickets. No Means No is going to be at the Wow Hall as well and the Hawthorne Theater on the 25th and 26th of April, respectively. I don't know if I said those in the right order, but check it out for yourself if you want to go see No Means No. April 28th, it's the Bleepin' Funny Comedy Show at Sam Bond's Garage on Blair Boulevard in Eugene, hosted by Leanne Joshua. Seth Milstein, I think, is going to be doing a set there. I haven't checked with him, but I believe he is on that. I will be doing a set as well. And this is a clean comedy show, PG-13. No shit talking and no talking about fucking your wife in the ass. So that's an 8 o'clock show. It's 21 and over, and it's free. More comedy coming to Eugene. Amy Schumer, who has her own show on Comedy Central now, will be at the McDonald Theater on May 4th. Also May 4th in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater. Whitest Kids You Know, very funny guys. Going to be bringing their stuff to the stage. You can check them out on IFC. They show repeats all the time. May 9th in Portland at the Baghdad Theater, it's Jay and Silent Bob live, which is going to be awesome. You should go check that out. Bill Cosby's going to be at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on May 11th. He's an icon in comedy, so you should go check that out if you've never seen Bill. Also that night, if you're into metal instead of comedy, go see Rotten Sound Black Breath at Bronx in Portland. Other shows coming up include Napalm Death, Hypocrisy, Primus, Bolt Thrower, Cake, Tracy Morgan, Lynyrd Skynyrd. We'll save those dates for you for a later time because this song is getting over, and that's how I gauge the length of my plugs. So hope you like the length of my plug. And come back home after these shows and listen to TagCast Podcast at TagCastPodcast.com.